Hey folks, Father Columba here. Got this from my friends at Exodus 90. Yes, feast don't binge. Well, feast is not equal to binging. Thanks guys. This is a thing of vitamin D because I didn't have a nice can to put in here. So feast don't binge, that's what I want to talk to you about. There's a passage in Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 9. They said to Jesus, why is it that we fast and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples don't? You know, do you ever be fasting and you're like, it's really hard. And then you see someone not fasting, you're like, meh. Either I get really proud and get judgmental or I get really envious. Interesting extreme flips there. Anyway, they say this to Jesus and Jesus has this most interesting response. He, first of all, establishes this exceptionally important image. He describes himself as the bridegroom and he describes his whole ministry as a wedding feast. And he describes his disciples as the friends of the bridegroom. And there's piles of stuff around actually what he said and what that means, but we won't go into that. And he says, you know, it wouldn't be right for the friends of the bridegroom to fast while the bridegroom is with him, meaning during the wedding feast. It's not right that they be fasting. That would be so weird. Can you imagine turning up to a wedding feast? I was at my friend's wedding recently and it was great. It'd be so inappropriate if I was at my friend's wedding and we're celebrating and I'm not eating or I'm on bread and water. They would be insulted. It would be an insult to them because it's absolutely essential that in a feast that there be food. And Jesus says this over and over and over again. And he describes heaven almost more than anything else as a big old party, a feast, especially as a wedding feast. So in tackling this question of fasting that Jesus is asked about, what Jesus actually starts with is feasting. He changes the focus and he then puts the fasting in the context of the feast. He says, we're in the middle of a feast. This is the wedding feast. It's not appropriate for them to be fasting now. But when the bridegroom is taken away, then they will fast. He actually uses the word mourning. He interchanges the word mourning and fasting. It's really, really interesting. And I think sometimes we talk about fasting, but we haven't yet put it in its proper context. It's the goal. It is in order to help us to feast. It's not the goal in and of itself. That's why we fast. It's because we are getting ready for the feast. Just really, really simple things. So if we want to learn about fasting, if we want to enter into it, really what we cannot separate it from is how are we with feasting? What does that look like for us? Does it look like binging? The fast's over, the whatever's over, the party's here, the wedding's here, the weekend's here. Blah. All control out the window? Question mark. Is there a third option between fasting in extremis, binging? Is there something more godly? Because binging, typically out of self-control, and there can be gluttony, eating more than I need to eat. So I'm satisfied right now. I need to stop eating. I'm no longer hungry. That's the sign I stop eating. If I keep eating after I'm no longer hungry, it's actually entering into gluttony. I'm not being good to my body. I'm not observing what it's saying to me. I'm overriding it because I want maybe the pleasure of the food, for example. Or I can feel the pressure. If you're Irish, you feel the pressure to finish your plate. Famine gene. I'm going to explode. So Jesus then, in this passage in Matthew 9, he's anchoring us in the feast. And he's saying that, well, what I'm doing with my disciples right now is I'm getting them focused and rock solid on the essentials. Rock solid on the essentials. And what's the essentials? Essentials are... what are the essentials, Columba? Yeah, it's the feasting. It's the rejoicing in the fact that the bridegroom is with us. Jesus is with us. God has come to his people. The Savior has come. The Messiah has come. This is really, really good news. And it is cause for rejoicing. And we should be rejoicing. Everybody should be rejoicing. So he makes sure that his disciples are really, really working on their rejoicing and just enjoying him, folks. I think there's a need, I have a need certainly, to pray, yes, for the grace of fasting, but to pray for the grace of feasting. I want to be able to feast in such a way that it's an explosion of joy, do you know? That I can enter into the graces of, say, Christmas or Easter like never before. Often I find after a long fast season, I enter into a feast season and it's really hard. I talk to so many people who, you know, after, let's say they've gone home, if they're students or they're working somewhere and they go home to their families, or, you know, if they're not married, typically it's folks who are single, not married, they go home to their families for Christmas and their prayer life and their everything life goes to pot. And they come back to enter their disciplined regular life and like, oh my gosh, that was so hard. Isn't it funny that that happens on the feast seasons? Because I think we don't know how to feast. We don't know how to rejoice and yet stay anchored. I think maybe the world, the flesh and the devil have gotten to, we've let them dictate what the party it should be like. There was an interesting little tune, and to be honest, I found kind of annoying, but we used to sing it in New York a lot when I was there as a friar. There ain't no party like a Catholic party, because a Catholic party don't stop. Now, I'm not sure about the theology of that, but I think there's something great about that. It's like, yeah, can we find out how to party like nobody else on the world? Literally, not like anybody else, because it's just so different. And it doesn't lead to the hangover. It doesn't lead to like, oh no, what's happened to all my discipline? What's happened to my prayer? What's happened to God? That it could actually be like a wedding feast. Do you ever be at one of those weddings that it's just like, oh my gosh, this is so beautiful. It's so joyful. It's such an expression of the love of this couple that we could, in the midst of our celebration, we could feel that in our soul with God, that we could be celebrating our union with Him when it comes to these feast seasons. So brothers and sisters, let's pray for the gift, the grace of feasting. God bless you. Hope that's helpful. Bye.